Now, back to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.
We're back. I'm Candace Newton, and this is Unlocking Secrets for Women here on CFUN. We've been talking about surviving the single parents' divorce earthquake. And Dr. Aaron, we need to talk about something really significant. We need to talk about boundaries. Boundaries with our exes and with our kids. We were talking a little bit about, parents that you were making a comment about parents that have a relationship and want the kids to validate that relationship. And then turning around and expressing resentment when the kids start to talk about things that they notice are wrong in the relationship. It's just sort of putting themselves in a bad position. But really what that comes down to, or at least I can see it as, is for boundaries between families and family members. Can you expound a little bit about boundaries, first of all, maybe in the relationship with parents, between parents and kids, those boundaries that need to be set, particularly, you know, when you're now trying to establish yourself, first of all, as the new authority in the home and the only authority in the home. And then secondly, you've got the situation where you are now got an ex involved. Can you just briefly discuss the boundaries before we move into our next topic quickly?
Okay. Boundaries I see as revolving around issues of respect. That's respect for yourself, respect for others, and commitment. So where kids feel like there's a genuine commitment to them and they feel respected, there's going to be more freedom there for them to tolerate the choices that you made. As you were saying before about your own children, your kids felt like they were really important to you and that you respected their opinions about things. You talked to them about your involvement with your wanting to have a boyfriend or when to introduce them into him into their lives. And that's an example of boundary setting and boundary maintenance. That when people feel accepted and they feel respected, boundaries are pretty clear. So there's the old statement, adage, good fences make good neighbors. Mm-hmm. And it's about taking good care of yourself, respecting yourself, but respecting other person's boundaries too, saying this is, they need respect, they need to be valued, recognize that that their feelings are their own and you're not necessarily responsible for them, which can be a hard thing for a parent to accept. When a child is upset with you, it can be really hard to see that it's just feelings and not something you are directly responsible for and having to correct somehow. Mm-hmm. And all too often, I see people getting into an overcorrection mode where, because they believe that they're responsible for the other person's feelings, including their children's, and they start to inadvertently pull for that other person to be respectful of. I'm having a hard time trying to get this point across here. All too often, they wind up invalidating that person's feelings because they need them to validate their
right.
own.
Yeah, we had a little rule in our house, and it was sort of that when when someone got hurt, the other person would right away, the person that was, guilty of hurting, whether it was intentional or not, go, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. And we go, you know what? It's not about whether you meant to or not. The person's now bleeding. Let's just not worry that you meant to or didn't mean to. Let's take care of the bleeding individual. And it's assumed that you didn't mean to, and it's okay. But in other words, you were trying to control the feelings of the other person. Well, we don't want them to cry and scream because we didn't mean to. Well, that's all very well and nice, but they're hurting. In adding, I just wanted to bring in a really another important topic for single parents on a practical level is in the area of finances. Now, my mom set a phenomenal example. She was an incredible example of being a hardworking woman. She worked 3 jobs to make sure that food was on our table after we were on our own and clothes on our back. She just worked an intense amount of time to set an example for us. And she didn't have anyone to help her. We didn't have my father. She didn't have family. She was basically all alone. She did the best she could. She didn't have any help. And so she worked those 3 jobs. She was phenomenal that way. My sister-in-law and I helped each other out. We bought a home together. She lives in the basement suite, and there's always been a mommy in the home. We saved on daycare costs and the latchkey child syndrome, which is hard for parents, and it allowed our kids to have more freedom for growing up. And we've got 2 ladies with us today who've come up with their own creative solutions on how to help each other financially. We've got Christine and Karen on the phone. Welcome, ladies.
thank you.
Hi, Candace.
Hi, Christine. Would you like to just tell us a couple of the very practical ideas that you were able to come up with for those single parents out there that might find themselves single for the first time, or maybe they've been at it for a while and they're struggling? What are some of the ideas that you had?
Well, one of the most important things, I think, is reaching out to other single parents. And I got an idea from actually a lady that was, when I was living in my townhouse, that she had a home and she was renting it, and she had a student living with her. So I have, for the last couple of years, had students from Japan and Korea come and live with us. And it helps me out financially, and also it helps the kids to learn about people from different cultures. Then there was a house that was available that had a separate suite. Karen and I had talked about living together in a house, and there was a house that was available in the same area, and it was important to me to keep my kids in the same school they've been in since kindergarten, so it was ideal for us to move in together and share the expenses. If I'm away from home and I can't reach my kids, I can always call Karen, and she can run upstairs and get the kids to call me. So we're finding that it really works out well.
It's great, too, because we can share on some of the costs and also some of the work-related duties as a result of being in a home. And it was really nice to be able to have, the kids in a home setting with a yard and an environment where you felt comfortable and safe. So it's actually been an excellent situation, because it's nice knowing that there's another adult in the home that you can rely on. And it's a source of income. Of course, you've got your family and relatives for which you can draw on. But it's also nice to be able to have friends. And Christine and I have actually got quite a network of single moms that we know. And it's been wonderful, actually, being able to listen to other people and help other people in their situations, and then help us. It's all about sort of people helping people, and it's actually been a wonderful experience. We've learned many things as a result of that, too, in terms of open communication and being candid with each other, and making mm-hmm. sure that we discuss certain issues that arise, maybe out of day-to-day living as a result of having, kids in the home. And, Christine and I both work full-time. We have busy lives. And it's nice knowing that we can count on each other for that additional support.
In divorce, that means there's a lot of single parents out there, and you may be
her own separate, quarters, and I do too, have the privacy and the doing our own thing. But we've also got that connection where we can call on each other if we need each other.
Those are incredibly excellent ideas, and I think what really stands out, you've mentioned a couple things that I think are really vital to that. One is that you obviously have pre-established your boundaries with each other. You know where those limits are, mm-hmm. but at the same time, when you go off to work, there's that sense of peace knowing, okay, there's somebody there with my kids. They're not alone. If they need something, they're there. I've got another adult that I trust and is responsible, that I can rely on, and my kids can rely on when there's a problem. And I think that is a fantastic way to support and help each other out. And for those single parents that are listening right now that maybe are not available or don't have those options available to them, I think one of the first things that they should do is to seek out other single parents like themselves. Dr. Aaron's told us that approximately 50% of relationships are ending in divorce. That means there's a lot of single parents out there, and you may be compatible with someone or be able to sit down and talk about some practical ideas, whether you're bringing in homestay students or whether you're renting a house together with another individual, and you sit down and you talk wisely about how you're going to work it out. Sometimes you might want to get a counselor involved, maybe go and see someone who's going to give you some good advice on how to establish those boundaries and set those boundaries for yourself. And So those are some really good practical ideas. Thank you, Karen and Christine, for your really practical ideas. And after the show, we're going to be on a chat that's going to enable us to, you know, maybe bounce off some more of those ideas. It's www.unlockingsecrets.com is our chat. And we'll be on approximately 3:45 today. Dr. Aaron and my guests will be on there today. So we're going to be back just in a few minutes. We'll come after the break and we'll conclude our discussion on surviving the single parents divorce earthquake. Here.
You're listening to Unlocking Secrets for Women on CFUN, 1410 AM.